The first lesson is from Zephaniah, the first chapter, verses 7 through 16. Be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated those he has invited. On the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all those clad in foreign clothes. On that day, I will punish all who avoid stepping on the threshold, who fill the temple with their gods, with violence and deceit. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will go out from the fish gate, wailing from the new quarter and a loud crash from the hills. Wail, you who live in the market district, for all your merchants will be wiped out. All who trade with silver will be destroyed. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. Their wealth will be plundered, their houses demolished. Though they build houses, they will not live in them. Though they plant vineyards, they will not drink the wine. The great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. The cry on the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty warrior shouts his battle cry. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside in the darkness, well, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Once more, I greet you in the abundant name of Jesus this morning. You know, we're getting down to the end of the church year, and as you can tell, the lessons traditionally concentrate on the end of times. I'm sure you can tell that from last week's readings and from this week's readings. But soon the lessons will look forward to Jesus coming the first time as a baby at Christmas. But for now, we think about his second coming. And as we do, we wait, as the earth did or has done for the last 2,000 years. Now, Jesus said that he would be coming soon, but no one knows the day or the hour of when that might be. Now, I'm sure that the apostles and the disciples that were with Jesus when he lifted off the earth and went back into heaven thought that he would come in their lifetime. But he didn't. And I'm sure that the disciples of the apostles, the next generation, I'm sure they thought he would come in their lifetime. But he didn't. And so on and so on and so on until today. And so here we are, waiting. Have you ever gone to work or maybe to school and you sat down at a desk and you began to work and you kind of looked up at the clock and it said maybe 10 a.m. and maybe you didn't have a whole lot to do or what you did have to do was kind of not very exciting. But, you know, you thought that there was a lot of time had passed and so you looked up at the clock again and it's 10:15. Time just seems to be dragging on. But then there were other days that you went to work and you had quite a bit to do and you look up at the clock and it said 10 o'clock and you got busy and you were doing all kinds of things and by the next time you had a chance to look at the clock again, it said 3 p.m. Wow! The time just flew by. Well, guess what? Time didn't change. You did. Whether you have a lot to do or a little to do, time is constant, at least human time. Your perception of time changed because you had other things to occupy your mind, your thinking. Well, God doesn't want us to be sitting here in this time of waiting for Him to come again, looking at the clock or looking at the calendar, as it may be. He wants us to be busy, because we don't even know when he might come again. He has given us work to do while we wait. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus tells the parable of, it's sometimes called the talents. A talent is some gold or something of worth. And this lesson was part of his answer to the disciples who were asking him about his coming again, the second coming, the end of times. The parable here is about the wealthy owner who goes away on a long trip, and he gives his three men that worked for him a task to do while he's gone. Now, in the parable, it doesn't tell us exactly what the owner told the servants to do, but he gave 5 talents or 5 bags of gold to the first servant. Now, that is, even back then, that was an enormous amount of money that he gave him. Some estimate that there might be into the millions of dollars. To the second, he gave 2 bags of gold. Again, that's a significant amount of money. And to the third, he gave 1 bag. Not as much, but it was still a lot of money. Now, the implicit task here was to increase the worth of what they'd been given. Now, the first 2 men went out and they put their money to work, and they doubled the amount that Jesus had given, or the owner had given them. However, the third man, he just went out and he dug a hole and he buried the money so that he wouldn't lose any of it unless the owner be angry with him. And so he made no effort to increase the worth of that money at all. Well, when the owner returned, he praised and he rewarded the first 2 servants for being good servants, being good stewards of the treasure that he had given them before he left. The third man, however, he was lambasted and he was banished for being wicked and lazy, because that's what he was. I mean, you know, if you think about it, it would have taken more work to go out into a field, to dig a hole in the ground, to throw the money bag in there and to cover it up again, than it would have been to go down to the bankers and just put it on deposit to earn a little bit of interest. But he didn't even bother to do that. Well, what does this parable say to us today? Our owner, as in the parable, is Jesus. He owns everything. He created everything. You remember from John's gospel, John started out his gospel by saying this. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." So you see, all things come from Him. Our intelligence, our talents, our abilities, our capacity to earn an income and to accumulate wealth, every material thing that we see. And for those of us who have faith in Jesus, He gives us His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit gives us gifts too, spiritual gifts. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, he said, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them." And then he wrote, "To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one as He determines." You see, we all have some kind of gift. We all have some kind of talent that God has given us. Some have more than others, depending on their ability, just like in the parable. But we're like those 3 men in the parable. We all have something to do to further the kingdom of God on this earth while we were here. Jesus went away, we know that. But He also said that He would come again. He would return one day. Well, Jesus didn't give us these spiritual gifts just so that we could, you know, ignore them, just so that we could bury them in the ground somewhere. No, He gave us those gifts to use them, to increase their value by expanding the kingdom of God on this earth, the kingdom of all believers, bringing the good news of Jesus to those who don't know about Him, by loving our fellow citizens of the world, by helping those that are less fortunate than us. This parable teaches us a number of things. For one thing, pleasing God and therefore being successful in the spiritual realm requires work. You know, I read one author that lamented that too many Christians today think that their salvation through Jesus is simply a bus ticket to heaven. They think it doesn't matter what they do while they're waiting for the bus to come. Well, in this parable, Jesus tells us that we should be using the gifts that He has given us for the common good, using our talents to further His kingdom and to bring Him glory while we're doing it. You know, kind of to tie in what we learned about Martin Luther during the Reformation series, Luther would say that everything we do, from farming to child raising to teaching, whatever it is that we should do it all for Him, because that's who we are doing it for. And that we should do it the best that we can to earn the most interest for God, for His purposes. God doesn't want us hiding our gifts, ignoring our talents, or using them in some wicked or lazy way. He gave them to us for a purpose. We're not just to sit idly by and waste the time we have, and therefore waste the gift that He has given us. That would be sinful. That would be an insult to Almighty God. We don't want to insult God, do we? Because the parable shows us what happened to the wicked and lazy servant. So the owner said, "So take the bag of gold from him and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." God wants us to use our talents that He gives us and, you know, to do what He knows needs to be done. As others have said, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And my friends, all of us are called. I mean, you might feel sorry for the man who was given the one bag of gold, although I said that is a lot of money. But it was enough to do what the owner wanted done. My friends, God has invested in us. He has invested Himself. He has created us. He loves us. He gives us family and friends and, you know, the abilities to produce worth. He didn't give everybody the same amount or the same thing or the same gift or the same talent. But He gives according to our abilities and according to what He wants us to accomplish. According to what He wants to accomplish through us. He invested His only Son so that we would be the beneficiaries of His death. He gave us faith to believe in Jesus as our Savior. He gave us His Holy Spirit and His Holy Word to help us. He gave us each other so that we can have a common goal in the body of Christ. He gave us our unique abilities to work in His kingdom. Oh, did I mention that He loves us? What more could He do to help us achieve His purposes for us while we wait? He wants us to produce a return on His investment, so to speak. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, the measure of success for God is not how much you produce. It's your effort in producing it. I mean, you know, He could have just said one word and accomplished everything that he wanted to accomplish. But he wants to know if we are grateful for what he's done for us. He wants to see if we're good stewards of his world, of his wealth, of his investment in us. You see, this parable tells us that there will come a day of judgment. The owner, Jesus, will return at his second coming. Now, don't be confused. This is not a parable that says we need to do work to be saved. No, no. Instead, it's how well we work to fulfill our earthly callings because we are saved, because we have faith in him. How good of a steward are we for him? How well have we treated those who need help? How well have we kept the first two commandments that he's given us? Remember in Mark 22, Jesus was asked about which commandment was the greatest. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." The wicked servant didn't so much waste the owner's money. He wasted the opportunity to expand its worth. God loves us. He loves his kingdom. He wants to expand it. He wants to make it better. He wants it to become worth more by, you know, being populated by more and more believers. And he wants us to have a hand in doing that. So Jesus gave us ample instruction about what we should be doing while we wait. Not ignoring our fellow inhabitants of the earth. Not by digging a virtual hole in the ground and hiding our spiritual gifts. But by using them to expand his kingdom. Helping others so that they too can use their gifts that they've been given to work in his kingdom too. And as this next week, as we give thanks during Thanksgiving time for all of the blessings that he has given us, let's give him thanks for the opportunity to work in his kingdom. Let's give him thanks for all of the ways that he's invested in us and for us. Most of all, let's give him thanks for Jesus' love. That love that had Jesus die for us on the cross. You know, one day, at Judgment Day, what we hear Jesus say to us is entirely up to us. As Paul said in our second lesson today, which is from his first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, he said, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing." You know, folks, let's not be considered lazy servants of God. While we wait, let's encourage one another. Let's build each other up. Let's help our fellow human beings. Let's expand God's kingdom on this earth. I don't know about you, but on the last day, I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen.